ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you woke up tomorrow and found yourself Prime Minister, what would you do? How would you run Australia? What's your plan for energy, for housing, for the economy? The Economy Stupid has a three-part series talking about what Australia could become if we had the courage to choose it. Search for The Economy Stupid and look out for Choose Your Own Australia. Find it where you get your podcasts and the ABC Listen app.
Coming to you from the lands of the Kulin Nation, this is Summer on ABC Radio National, and you're with Life Matters and me, Beverly Wang, bringing you some of your favorite stories from the year. Have you heard of something called the Let Them Theory? It's a self-help trend that's gone viral on social media based on a best-selling book by American motivational speaker Mel Robbins. And the phrase, just let them, has become a mantra to help you let go of situations you can't control instead of getting worked up and obsessed over them. So today, we're talking about the light bulb moments you've had in stepping back from situations beyond your control and what you got out of that. And then, the aunties on what to do when your no-strings-attached hookup is getting you all tied up. Let's talk. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Don't get angry. Just let them. Your child wants to wear their favorite stained t-shirt to a family gathering. Just let them. You're not invited to a party. Don't stew. Just let them. You're not getting the attention you want in a relationship. Just let them. Really? If you're thinking, no, why would I just let them in these situations? Keep listening, because today, let's talk about accepting what you can't control. Have you ever had a moment when you decided to stop controlling a situation or a relationship? Was there a time when you realized you were obsessing over something you could not control? How did you let it go? And what was the result when you did that? Did you find peace and ease? Because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves thinking about what if, or we get stuck thinking that plans have got to go a certain way or else. And it can really do your head in. Chat with me, Beverly Wang, on Life Matters on Radio National alongside Dr. Jacqueline Balsh, a clinical psychologist and director of Inner Melbourne Clinical Psychology. Welcome to Life Matters, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about the Let Them Theory, because Mel Robbins is a hit podcaster, a best-selling author, a high-profile motivational speaker. Her book, a bestseller, is called The Let Them Theory, a life-changing tool that millions of people can't stop talking about. You've read it. I wonder if you could kick off by just explaining the premise of this theory.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you've captured it really well in your intro. This theory is about stepping back and noticing those moments when we're potentially swooping in to try and control a situation or a person, and instead sitting back and asking ourselves, would this be a time where I could just let them be who they are, let this situation be what it is, rather than using my energy to try and control the other person.
When you say swooping, and I think so much of the culture around us teaches us, particularly women, I think, that it is our job to swoop in, to do the labor. And so do you think that's why this has caught on quite a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think every now and then someone packages something up in a way that's really palatable. And I do think, yeah, there's something about this point in time. And I agree with your comment around it being particularly compelling potentially to women as a way to slow down and pause and notice patterns that we might get into around people pleasing or over functioning or overcompensating or rescuing others or wanting to appear a particular way, because all of that's an illusion. We can't actually control anybody else despite what we might think.
And am I being too pedantic when I question whether it is genuinely a theory? Because a theory is a system of ideas, and I note that just let them is, yes, there is a book, but it's mostly a social media catchphrase.
I would agree with that, particularly as a clinical psychologist. You know, I'm not aware of the science that's behind it in terms of what Mel Robbins has done to to check this, what whether she's done any studies. She does talk about the thousands of people that use the let them theory, but she doesn't really elaborate on what she means by that. So
yeah, look, I think it's really important to note that on Life Matters This Morning with you, Jacqueline, we're not doing an endorsement of just let them, but we are noticing obviously that this has become very popular on social media, and we want to take a closer look with you, a qualified clinical psychologist, and, you know, kind of test the theory a little bit, the theory, I'm using the word, and also see where it works, but see where there are limitations, and hopefully help our Life Matters listeners figure out ways to use it in a way that's useful if they are, and also places where, you know, maybe you should not just let them, because I think that's a very important part of the conversation. Now, before we get to the calls, they're already coming in on this, which is great to see, and keep them coming. I just wonder, Jacqueline, you kind of said you're not aware of kind of the background, but are there therapeutic modalities that just let them perhaps inadvertently draws from?
Yes, there are. And that's part of what drew me to the theory, as well as the fact that everyone seemed to be talking about it. So let them theory draws on, it clearly draws on acceptance and commitment therapy, a little bit of CBT, a little bit of mindfulness.
What does CBT stand for?
Oh, sorry, cognitive behavioral therapy, and also mindfulness. And you could even say that it draws a little bit on some other approaches like family systems therapy and potentially even psychodynamic therapy. So, I mean, it's hard to come up with a new theory and a new idea, I think. It's really a combination of all of those things.
Well, I guess that's why pop psychology is so popular, particularly on social media, because it is kind of... It's connecting, it's resonating, because it is obviously something that, you know, people connect to, the swooping in, all of that thing. It's in the vibe, it's in the zeitgeist.
Definitely.
But we need to talk about it with a little bit more, I guess, evidence base to it. Now, I wonder about, you know, talking about obsessive thinking. I suppose this is what Just Let Them is trying to counteract, right? Can you talk a little bit about why we get stuck into that and why we feel like we need to take care of things or worry about the outcome so much?
In relation to obsessive thinking, I think obsessive thinking is really about trying to think our way into safety. It's trying, our fight-flight system gets set off in our brain, and we start to really try and pin something down and get to the bottom of it and think our way into a place where we feel calm again. The problem is obsessive thinking has the opposite effect, and it actually gets in the way of doing things that would genuinely help you in the situation. And you know, obsessive thinking is certainly, I think, a catalyst for then trying to control others as well. So, it's a natural part of being a human, getting fixated on things and obsessing over things, but being able to have a simple catchphrase like let them can help us sometimes to step back from that.
Okay. Now, before we do go to our callers, I think it's really important to talk about, you know, I've mentioned Mel Robbins is not a trained psychologist. She's a motivational speaker, an author, a podcast host, not necessarily a subject area expert. And, you know, the popularity of Just Let Them has also made her a lot of money. Should we be cautious about picking up something from a self-help book and running with it, applying it to our lives? Where do you think we need to see sort of have some caution flags up?
I think if something resonates, be interested, be curious and explore it, but also be discerning. And I think that with any theory, so the theories that I referred to before, acceptance and commitment therapy, CBT, mindfulness, they're evidence-based theories, but that doesn't mean that they work for everyone or resonate for everyone. So even if the theory is well validated by scientific research, it doesn't mean that it's going to apply to you in your situation. So yeah, a little bit of discernment I think is helpful.
Yeah. And Mel Robbins also says that there are moments clearly where it's not okay to just let them. Should we go through those right now?
Yeah, I think the obvious one is whenever something comes up around safety, your safety or the safety of others, or really clear boundary pushing, just letting someone
unreasonable behavior,
exactly.
Discrimination when
Absolutely.
Someone's actions can cause harm or threat to you or others. Obviously, we're not saying, just let them.
No. And that is, I guess, the potential downside of a theory like this. It's because it's a quick catchphrase, it can simplify.
It's not a one-size-fits-all.
No.
Excuse me. We do have our first caller, Megan in Victoria, Ocean Grove. Welcome to Life Matters. Has there been a moment where you realized it was better to let go of something beyond your control?
Oh, look, I have lots of situations. You know, you talked about sort of obsessive thoughts and thinking, and I have lots of situations where the let them theory has worked. Mm-hmm. However, I think from my perspective, and I do follow Mel Robbins on social media, I love a lot of the things that she talks about. However, I think it depends on how much it matters to you, how much the situation, how much you care about that situation. And I think for some people, especially if they have, you know, perhaps something where they've experienced significant trauma and they're wired a certain way, it can leave someone feeling like they're failing if they are unable to just let them. Mm. So particularly in family circumstances where there might be a situation, just letting a situation go can lead to sort of a where there's no resolution, and it does leave you can leave you in pain. Yeah. So I think that resolving things is often a better way to working through a situation is often a better way. That's how I've experienced it anyway.
I would 100% agree with that, Megan. I think this theory has limits, and you've described one of them perfectly. I think one of the things that Mel talks about in her book, and that I would talk about as a psychologist, regardless of her book, is in those moments where just letting things go isn't the solution, there are a whole bunch of other things that can potentially be brought forward as ways to work through that. But I think when we're talking about complex trauma, as you've mentioned there, or trauma or our history and how we've grown up, it's not as simple as that. And it can sometimes be a time when you might need to have the support of a professional to work through that, rather than just a self-help book, because, you know, it's just a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Megan, for calling in and sharing your thoughts on not just how it helps to let go of situations, but also your very thoughtful response to the just let them theory. In a way, Jacqueline, we're talking about radical acceptance. I see texts mm-hmm. about that. We've got some questions about that as well. Understanding that sometimes you cannot be in control of lots of everyday situations, and how it actually might be quite freeing to step back and let them, be quite a barrier, can't it? I think to realize that things don't have to go your way, especially if you are trained to think you are the planner, you mm. are the person. I think I listened to the podcast episode that Mel Robbins did about this, and she talks about how she got really worked up because her teenager wanted to go to some fast food place for a pre-prom event instead of like a nice fancy place. And at some point, her daughter, just older daughters, just turned to them and said, just let them go to that place. And that's why it was that kind of light bulb moment for her. But Jacqueline, I think that what the last caller highlighted was really interesting, because if you are just kind of trying to use just let them as a wrench to let go, it can also, you don't want it to be something that you don't talk about. So for example, when I was talking about just let them and I cited the example, you're not getting the attention that you want in a relationship. You just let them. Really? Because could just let them, if used too strongly, could that actually deter you from what I think psychologists want us to do, which is to actually recognize what's going on, talk about it, work toward a resolution? Because just let them could just mean I'm out, I'm disengaging.
Yeah, I think it's actually the way in which this could be used perhaps more effectively than just stepping back and disengaging is to say, I'm going to watch what happens here when I don't over-engineer things. I'm going to watch what happens when I let the person just be who they are. And dating is a great example, because when you're first getting to know someone, it's tempting to try and, you know, we want people to be who we want them to be rather than who they actually are. Or we might sort of look at their potential rather than what's actually being shown to us. So let them can be a way of stepping back and observing that. And then you do have to do something with that. And so it doesn't mean you let them forevermore. It may be letting them, and then saying, okay, you know, this situation is not for me, this person's not for me. Or it might be setting some boundaries and seeing if that shifts things. Mm. So it's not a passive approach. It's an approach of slowing down, my understanding at least, and then using the information that you observe to then inform the next steps that you take, which might include continuing to let them, but perhaps wouldn't in dating.
Yeah. That's a really, really good point to make. Thank you so much for clarifying that. We're going to take another call. Jennifer is in Canberra, Ngunnawal country, and I understand that you have listened to this Just Let Them book and you were skeptical at first.
Yeah, hi. I was skeptical. I had listened to Mel Robbins' podcast on menopause where she had used experts, but my understanding from reading about the book online was that there was no scientific research behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was listening to it, as Dr. Jackie said, it really resonated with the acceptance commitment therapy that I've undertaken with a professional over the years. And I had a friendship where I set a boundary about behaviours that I felt were acceptable. That person reacted negatively to that boundary and I just thought, let them.
Yep.
And it felt like a weight was lifted off me, literally. Like I just went, wow, I don't have to worry anymore. Let them be angry. Let them talk to people in a rude way, but not me. So I really resonate with it.
And how did that affect the friendship, Jennifer?
Well, I set a boundary of how I like to be communicated with and that person didn't take that well, so I haven't spoken to them since.
Hmm.
But I don't feel bad about that. I actually feel good because I feel like I've been released from an unhealthy and unhelpful relationship because they weren't respecting my boundaries. So I'm just saying let them. Hopefully that they will see what I did was trying to respect myself.
Hmm.
And not control them, but let them do what they want to do and I don't let it affect me. And as I said, it dovetails very well with acceptance commitment therapy, just accepting the situation and let them go on with their way.
I think that's such a great example, Jennifer, and I think what you've highlighted there is two key things, the way in which the theory can potentially be used to for your own self-esteem and your own self-respect. And also the grief and loss that can sometimes come. I know you haven't touched on that specifically, but some of the consequences that can come from letting people just be who they are, it can mean that friendships fade or end, or that family relationships become different, or that you leave a workplace or stop dating someone. So there are potential, big changes and grief and loss that can come with that as well. And I don't think Mel really speaks about that in her book.
Yeah. This is why we turn to actual qualified psychologists to help us understand this. And thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your experience. It's a great call. If you want to join the conversation and talk about maybe your experience of Just Let Them, and obviously we're open to the critique. We've also already critiqued and talked about how this is not an endorsement of Just Let Them. We're talking about it with a qualified professional to understand how it can be applicable in a general sense, but also where there are limits. So for example, if you are, going to experience harm, obviously we don't just let them. It's not about being passive. It's not about resigning yourself to a bad situation at all. Dr. Jacqueline Balsh is my guest. And we have Deb in New South Wales. Welcome to Life Matters, Deb. Tell me about a moment where you let go.
Hi, thank you. I'm in AA, and a big part of AA is learning about keeping my side of the street clean and not going over to the other side of the street telling everybody else how to keep their side of the street clean. And so that whole thing about taking personal inventory and how am I behaving in this situation, and instead of being hyper-focused on how the other person is behaving in the situation, which used to drive me mad, I focus more on myself and how do I want to behave in this situation. So, I try to just accept the person who's standing in front of me, saying, doing, thinking, acting the way they are. And I try to keep in touch with myself in the process. And, how am I responding to this person? How do I want to respond to this person? What do I need? What does it look like they might need? That kind of thing.
And how has that helped you? You said you're an AA. How does that, if you could connect that back to, I suppose, the sobriety journey, what does keeping your side of the street help you do?
Look like?
Yeah.
It decreases a massive amount of intolerance, impatience, anger, frustration, annoyance, And also it just stops me from speaking in a harsh, critical way, because I used to be very kind of verbally confrontational, and I used to disagree with just about everybody when I was a daily drinker. I was always the person that saw the other side of the coin, you know. I was argumentative, basically, but I'm not that now.
Deb, thank you so much. Really appreciate you calling in and sharing your insights. I'm sure everyone listening has really, really appreciates what you have to say as well.
And I love what you've highlighted, Deb, there about responsibility. One of the hard things about this theory is that once you let them, that you then have to take responsibility for your side of the street, as you said. And that can be why we sometimes, you know, we don't want to take responsibility for ourselves. It's hard work. And that can be where obsessive thinking can also come in, because if I just obsess on the other, if I just look at them and what they're doing wrong and all the ways that they, you know, are not meeting my needs, then I don't have to focus on myself. So obsessive thinking can also be a form of avoidance.
Right. Really interesting point. Thank you for that. We're going to go to Jaunty in Lismore. Welcome to Life Matters. What do you want to say about everything we're talking about today?
Yeah, so one thing, because I've seen a few friends recommending this, and I'm aware of Mel, and I've listened to some of her podcasts before, and only a little way through the book, but what I can see is that she says, well, okay, so we can let them do that, but then we can't stop there. We have to say, let me, and that's where we take power back into the situation, and we make the choices about what we will do in response to these situations. And essentially what I see her theory as is matching the idea of circle of control, about what things we have control over and what things we don't have control over. We can't control the weather. We can't control what other people say, do or think, but we can control our responses. We can, you know, we can control our actions. We can control our emotions, for example. So that's what I read her theory as, is sitting in with that particular work. And I see just great ways to apply that, just even in everyday mundane life. Like, my son is just started high school, and I need to let him get himself ready more and more as he gets older. And I need to learn how to step back from that. Have you done this? Have you done that?
Very familiar. Jacqueline, what did you want to say about what Jaunty's shared?
I think what you've shared is great, Jaunty. The only thing I would say is that we can't control the emotional response we have when we let people do what they're doing. So that would be the only thing. I think it's really it's not possible for us to stop ourselves from feeling hurt by others, disappointed, let down, even, you know, re-traumatized by others. But I think everything else that you've said there is, it just, yeah, really applies and very much resonates. And I love the example with your son as well. It's such a great real life example.
Yeah. Yeah. Rushing to get a kid, you know, early, ready for school. And it's like, well, maybe you need to let them learn what it's like to be late.
Yes.
There is a text which kind of speaks to some of the points that Jaunty has brought up. And the question is, how does let them theory differ from Stoicism, which is another very popular approach these days? Or is it quite similar?
I'm not an expert on Stoicism, but I would say it goes one step further, because it's not just let them. It's as Jaunty, the previous caller, said, there's then let me, what do I do then? And my understanding is that you wouldn't necessarily get as involved in that second part. But I must say there's a caveat there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And there's plenty of reading on Stoicism that I think it was about the what you are in control of and what you aren't in control
Definitely.
Of. Yeah. We are talking about this idea of letting go. We are inspired by the very popular catchphrase that Mel Robbins has popularized via her book and podcast, Just Let Them. You know, I'm sure friends have talked to you about this. Maybe you're reading the book. We just wanted to jump onto Life Matters today and, I guess, put a bit more evidence base around it and have a conversation about where it works and where it doesn't. You know, we live in very polarized times, Jacqueline, and lots of people have strong opinions and ideologies that we might not agree with. When it comes to that kind of just letting people, you know, some ideas can be quite harmful. What's the line between engaging in a conversation and trying to control them, change their thinking and why they think that, versus letting them think that?
That's a tricky one. And I think we've all got different levels of tolerance there in terms of when we might step in and try to control the conversation. But it's an illusion anyway that we can control what others think. We can try to control that conversation, but we can't. We're not in charge of what other people believe or feel and the stories behind why they believe and feel those things. It's not a very satisfying answer, but I think it varies across individuals as to when they would want to step in. But I think there are certain matters for all of us where we just would step in and we would actually try to start controlling what the other person thinks because, you know, what they're saying might feel harmful or hurtful or discriminatory.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships, how this might apply to romantic relationships. Is this a good barometer to use when dating?
Yes, I think it's obviously not, you need some more flesh to flesh it out, but I think it could be a good starting point when dating to have that in the back of your mind, to just let the person kind of unfold in front of your eyes and let them be who they are, and rather than trying to kind of push them in a particular direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes in the dating world we hear like, oh, someone so-and-so is like, they're a project that you could make over. I wonder if you can speak to a little bit about how that works and maybe why just let them might help, like how you could apply just let them to people who think that, you know, a relationship is like kind of a renovation project.
Yeah, well, I mean... I think people just naturally do that. They want people to reflect their own inner world. They want people to be like them because it's comfortable when we're surrounded by people who kind of remind us of ourselves, particularly with dating. And I think in Mel's book she talks about how over time when you're dating someone for a long time or in a marriage, you can potentially start to become like that person. I think it's kind of futile in a way. You can make someone a project and try to make them over and turn them in, you know, turn it into a bit of a renovation project. But at the end of the day, people will be who they are, and you can kind of block that out and ignore what it is that you don't like about the person or what it is that's hard about being with them. But it will keep reappearing because people generally don't change much. Obviously personality and who people are can change a little bit, or psychologists wouldn't have a job, but there's limits to that.
Let's go to Fiona in Nipaluna, Hobart. Welcome to Life Matters, Fiona. Tell me about your experience of, I think it's bike riding and just letting them. I want to hear more. I'm intrigued.
Good morning, ladies. Yes, well, I have two situations. I don't know Mel, this lady. I don't espouse to that sort of general stuff on social media, but I have a funny situation and a more serious family situation where I use more letting go let them when I ride a bike every day, because riding a bike is quite treacherous. And I just build up a narrative as I'm riding. I go, oh, okay. So they not only want to try to door me, they're now changing lanes and they're going to turn the corner without indicating and to try to kill me. And then the day just goes on, and I get home and I just have a little prayer. I'm still alive and think of all the situations I've been through and make a bit of a comedy out of it. So that's how I cope with bike riding. But I have a more serious situation with family. So I've got three adult daughters. We've all been through trauma 30 years ago. And I've got a lot of trauma behaviour that I have to cope with. What they do is they cut me off when they're going through stuff, and they accuse me of things. And so what I do, I don't fight it. I don't argue. I don't even know why most of the time. So I let it go, and I let them go, and I just let them go with a lot of love. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I just wait, and I just let them go through their stuff, and then... normally they return to me. It might take years. It's taken 5 years with my daughter with borderline personality disorder, but she just cut me off again after I had major surgery and my mum died last year. And I don't know why, but I don't know if she'll come back. I have to, you know, have that realisation that they might never come back, but two of them are back. You know, it's like a tennis match in our family. Oh, well, that one's talking to me, that one's not. But I just let go and let them deal with what they need to deal with.
Yeah. And Jacqueline, I'd like to bring you in here as well, because, I mean, what Fiona is doing, letting them go, do their own thing, yes. But on the other hand, Fiona, I'm sure you've got an emotional response to that. Mm. You've got feelings about that. And I wonder, yes, Jacqueline, can you offer just some general advice about how to get through those times?
That's such a wise response, Fiona. And what I'm hearing you sorry.
It's taken 30 years.
Yeah, but it's still, I imagine it's still, it's tricky when there would be a lot of feelings that come up even when you let them have that space. But I think what you're doing there is you're supporting them rather than swooping in and trying to solve whatever it is that's happening, because it sounds like that hasn't actually worked well in the past. And so you've sort of thought, oh, what can I do differently here? And you're there when they're ready to reconnect, but you're not sort of micromanaging whatever it is that's going on their end. I think that's such a beautiful example of how this theory could potentially be used in really delicate and sensitive situations.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for that lovely support. It's not easy. It hurts. It hurts. It still hurts as much as it still hurts as much as it did 30 years ago. And in fact, my granddaughter now does this to me as well. So she's been trained up by her mum. It's really, 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 really. But if you can hold that space and just hold that love, and remember, you do love your kids. I love her intensely, but you know, you've just got to let her do her thing. And maybe I'll never see her again. I don't know. I don't know. I have no control over any of that.
Fiona, thank you so much. We're going to move on to another call, but that what really so much to think about there. Let's go on to Edgar in Jervis Bay. Welcome to Life Matters, Edgar. What do you want to say about not obsessing or letting go or stepping back from situations?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. I wasn't familiar with this social media phenomenon, but it really resonated for me around, I guess, my relationship with my son. You know, he's now 13, and I've been really, I'm quite involved at home. You know, I sort of work from home and stay at home, and so controlling behaviours, I suppose, you know. And the thing that I realised, I guess, the just let them concept for me is a tool for acceptance. You know, accepting someone for those kind of behaviours, I suppose, that they're exhibiting.
Mm. That's really helpful, Edgar. And so it is, you know, the idea of kind of letting them in parenting can be a tough one, because as a parent, Jacqueline, obviously we are there to set boundaries and limitations. So it is a balancing act, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think one of the things that can happen when we let them with kids is a bit of their personality might be revealed to us in terms of what they choose to do. So just accepting that they are going to put on the, ballerina dress when you really want them to wear these leggings and this top, you know, you learn something about your kids when you let them.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've got a question here on the text line I'd like to throw at you, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. The texter says, let them has helpful principles, but I wonder how it applies to handling disrespectful behavior. For example, being in an in-person group conversation in which one person starts gossiping about a mutual friend who was not present. Toxic and unfair commentary can affect everyone's view of the third party. Advice?
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. I think this is kind of one of the limitations of the theory, but the theory does sort of... And maybe I'll just speak rather than sort of
don't have to really talk about the theory. Talk about it, as a psychologist, yes.
We definitely need to think about setting boundaries, speaking up, communicating when we need to. That might involve potentially conflict as well in that situation. But it's not about being passive and sitting back and just letting those things unfold, particularly, as they say, when there's toxic behaviour. But it may also be letting them do that in that moment and then walking away and thinking about that. So for me, what resonates with this theory is it's an opportunity to slow down, to notice your reaction, to notice what it is that you want to do, and pause before you actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the texter wanted some tools on how to address this kind of behaviour, what could they do?
Oh, that's so many different tools. I mean, assertive communication would be a big one, I think, and boundary setting.
Call it out. Would you suggest calling it out?
I'd really need more information. Yeah. I don't think it's always a great idea to call it out. I think it's tempting to say, yeah, call it out. But mm-hmm. actually sometimes calling it out can do more harm than good in the moment. I think the best tool we have in those moments, the best overarching tool, is to slow down, pause, and notice what's happening before we react. And if you're not sure what to do, then don't do anything in that moment. Give yourself some space to think about it later on out of the heat of the moment, because very rarely do we come up with ideal solutions and tools when we're triggered, essentially, emotionally triggered.
Yeah, take some time out. That never hurt anybody. We have been talking about this viral kind of pop psychology catchphrase, just let them, which has been popularized by Mel Robbins, but Jacqueline is here to put her expert lens on that and talk us through when it's applicable and when it might not be. Terry is on the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria. Welcome, Terry. Tell me about, you've read the Mel Robbins book and found it useful. Tell me how you've applied it to your life.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for taking the call. I got advised of the book some years ago, probably the best part of 18 months ago, yeah. So I call that you. I'm a practicing dentist, and one of the things that you're continually confronted with in dentistry, let aside the personal life, is people wanting to have a crack, shall we say, in Australian vernacular, wanting to have a go or say something negative or derogatory about their previous practitioner, dentist, doctor, whatever. Okay, and what I used to do is try to reason my way through it. After reading the book, I found it was much more practical and more survivable to just, as you say, let them carry on, let them say, look as though you are listening very, very carefully, but do not react.
Right.
Reaction time in everything we do as human beings. If we react too quickly in a job interview, in a practical interview, in a marriage contract, reaction just causes problems. And so for me, in the latter part of my professional life, I've just decided to let them.
Yeah.
And I just let people go on and on and on.
How has that helped you, Terry? How has it helped you?
Well, it's helped me because I don't get involved in this.
The drama.
The
drama, the anger management. And you see, what I was doing is finding it was causing me to become depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And depression amongst professional men and women is a big problem.
Well, it's good that it's been helpful to you. I guess, I mean, yeah, I'm not really sure where the instinct to kind of bag out your previous dentist to your current dentist comes from.
Yeah, but who knows?
But I think it's a great example of how it can pull you out of the drama. You're saying, I don't want to be involved in that drama. I don't have the headspace or the energy for that. And so over time, you've noticed that it's actually quite peaceful just letting people say what they need to say and not getting involved.
I'm sure it helps also that dentists wear like a lot of face masks and glasses and everything, so we can't see their expressions. I wonder if Sophie in Sydney on Gadigal land is going to be our last caller. Let's see. Sophie, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello there.
What have you let go of and how does it make you feel?
Oh, I let go with the help of a psychologist. I let go of my two sisters, which has been nearly all my life a very toxic and destructive relationship. And I'm in my early 60s, so it's taken me a long time. But over the last 10 years, I think I've been working on it and I'm so much happier. You know, it's just much better for my life. I'm cordial with them, you know, and I say hi and all of that, but I just don't get involved. And it's basically changed my life.
Was there a moment where you thought, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, there was a moment. I won't go into details, but there was a moment where there was a sort of major betrayal of, you know, of that relationship and trust. Yeah. So there was one moment about 5-6 years ago. Yeah.
And now what do you think that's kind of freed you up to do? Like, how do you feel as a result of this detaching?
Yeah, I just don't feel criticized all the time and blamed, and you know, like I'm starting to really feel a much stronger sort of sense of appreciation for myself, and you know, like I just like all the things that have been whittled down. I mean, you know, it's not that I'm a victim or anything. I just that I just it was just a very unpleasant. You know, all I can remember from my home was, you know, sort of arguments and arguments and arguments. And that was that's not how I like to live. So I've had to sort of find my own way of living in more or less peace.
Thank you so much, Sophie. You are our last caller. Glad that we got you in here. Now, Jacqueline Balsh, before we let you go, I wonder if you can just summarize, you know, just because people tune in and out, and I want to make sure everybody hears this, you know, moments where it's useful to apply this theory and also moments where we should not just let them, so to speak.
I think it's very much up to each individual as to when they apply this theory, but I think it's not really applicable in situations where someone might be at risk of harm, or we might be at risk of harm, or things like discrimination or whatnot are happening. But in other areas, it can apply really broadly. And I think what we've learned from our callers today is it can apply from really small, you know, situations that might be annoying, like someone cutting in traffic, right up to situations where we're trying to develop better relationships with our family. Mm. But it needs to be used with some discernment. It's like every theory, yeah. It has its downfalls.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you need further help, then you should probably consult a professional and see your GP first, all of that. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Jacqueline Balsh, a clinical psychologist and director of Inner Melbourne Clinical Psychology. Next up, it feels amazing to completely lose yourself in a new fling, but is it sometimes important to keep the GPS on standby? We'll ask the aunties.
On ABC Radio National,
the arts aren't just entertainment.
They're part of who we are.
Children's author Andy Griffiths.
Hello. Springsteen.
He walked out and the audience sang the first verse.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, good to be here.
Where are we in space and time?
From novels that spark the imagination
to discovering music that surprises and delights.
Explore the breadth and depth of Australia's cultural landscape
with ABC Radio National.
This week's dilemma is packed with spicy ingredients, new love, an old flame, an urgent warning. It's definitely time to ask Auntie. And hello to our honorary aunties, Denise Erickson, a journalist and mentor to emerging artists in the screen industry, and Ruben Kay, comedian and cabaret artist. Hi, Denise. Hi, Ruben.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me this early in the morning.
Thank you for waking up so early in the morning. I know that you're in theater, so this is, you usually by rights should be in bed, so I appreciate you showing up. Now, let's take the temperature first of this dilemma. Denise, when it comes to romantic relationships, where does the line fall for you between a well-intended warning and interference?
Oh, look, I'll take them all and choose to regard them or disregard them according to how I feel on the day.
Fair enough, right. I'll take that as a comment, I think, is the vibe there. Ruben, do you still get on with your exes?
I only had one relationship in my life, and like an infomaniac dating an arsonist, it went down in flames.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm very glad to have your counsel here. So Mark has written in, and Mark says, I recently started a new relationship. We're 3 weeks Facebook official, as the kids say. I'm in my late 30s and haven't dated many people, but my past relationships have been pretty long term. My last relationship lasted 5 years, and this is the first time I've put myself out there since that fell apart. I really hate dating. It's been a really rocky road getting into the singles pool. Yeah, let's pause here. So, Mark, Ruben, what's your impression of Mark so far?
I agree with Mark. I think dating is awful. It feels like having to do an audition and a tax return every time you meet a new person. And I have no truck with dating. So, do you know what, Mark? I think you're brave. I think you're doing God's work. I think you're doing the stuff that I don't want to be doing in my life.
Good on you, Mark. And Denise, when you've been in a relationship for a while and find yourself single again, I mean, it's kind of hard to... We're rusty, right? Do you think we forget how to date?
Well, but I think there's so much pressure. Mark is putting so much pressure on himself in his email. It feels to me like got a house tech, got a job tech, got a dog tech. Oh, my God, I need a relationship tech. What happened to the time where we just hung out with people? If we liked them, we went and hung out with them again. And I know I'm sounding incredibly old, but, you know, and you look at social media and you see everybody living perfect lives, including perfect relationships.
Mm-hmm. It's not real.
And it's just not true.
It feels to me like it's a bunch of people who aren't happy with their own company, so they need to fill their lives or believe all of the advertising crap we
Absolutely.
Get.
Absolutely.
We're all like pate geese being sold a perfect life that's unattainable.
Absolutely.
There's better uses for a funnel.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. I just want to go back to Mark's dilemma. That was part one. And let's move on to part two. Mark says, the new woman I'm dating, let's call her Brooke, is lovely. We click straight away. She's in the same professional field as I am. Whip smart, funny, and shares my passion for hiking and camping. Tick, tick, tick. Things were going really well until I got an unsolicited text message from an unknown number. It was from a man purporting to be her ex-boyfriend. He sent me a huge rambling warning. He said I should run as far away from Brooke as I can before I get hurt like he did. I was horrified. He essentially aired a dirty laundry list of toxic, jealous, and controlling behaviors, none of which have shown their face in our short time together. Should I bring it up with Brooke or just let it go as sour grapes from a jaded ex? Wow. Okay. That's a huge thing to land in your lap. Denise?
Oh, it happened to me.
What?
Oh, my God. Yeah, seriously, it happened to me. I got this letter from an ex of someone I was actually going out with at the time. Going out with, not dating, just saying.
Okay.
And she dumped shit on him. I mean, she seriously did. And she said, be warned, he will be unfaithful and he will leave you. So I get that. But
did you heed the warning? Denise?
No, God, no. I did actually ask the partner at the time and say, look, I just got this really grumpy letter from your ex. Can you just deal with it? I really don't want to hear from her again. It's just like crap, really, seriously. And no, I didn't hear it. I didn't heed it because I'm an adult. I make my own decisions. And if these things happen and I understand her hurt and pain. But I didn't want to take that on as mine.
Ruben, if a text like this landed on your phone, what would you think? How would you react? It's a big thing.
I mean, yes, it is a big thing. But then again, I think hurt people hurt people. This is someone who's got an axe to grind. Also a firm believer in you don't make any decisions until you have all the information. And I think a lot of people in relationships are scared of tough conversations and scared of communication. Because only then can you really make up your own truth, your own decision, right? Once you've got all the cards, you can't play with a half deck.
So would you reply, Ruben? What would you do with this text?
Well, first off, I wouldn't be so stupid as to be in a relationship.
Okay, so that's where Mark went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But in this case, you absolutely go to, I mean, let's call her Brooke. I love naming someone after a body of water.
River.
I think Marina, Ford, River Phoenix, maybe not. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, hi, here are my triplets, Puddle, Oxbow and Inlet.
I'm sure there are children out there called Puddle, Oxbow and Inlet. I have no doubt.
There's definitely a celebrity child out there called Atoll.
Denise, this has happened to you. You didn't do anything. Do you have any counsel to Mark, who has gone through the same thing as you?
Well, what was fascinating is that the letter turned out to be absolutely right. He did shag around. We did break up, and it was pretty horrific. However, what was at the base of that was that we actually weren't a great fit in the first place. And, yeah, it was painful. It was hideous. But you know what? I don't regret a minute of those 5 years together. We had a blast. It didn't work. I bloody hated it when we split up. But in the end, I think that the big deal for Mark here is fidelity, and that's what he's got to raise and talk about. And, it's horrible, but you do have to, if it raises touch points for you, then have a yak with her. Say to her.
Well, there is a third chapter, so...
Oh, my God, I've busted into the third chapter, Bev. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. This is aunties being aunties, and we welcome you. let's get that out for everybody else who's listening, though. So Mark says, the most concerning part about the warning is that it mentioned Brooke cheated on this guy. I have been through infidelity before in a past relationship, and cheating broke up my parents' marriage. It's a really sensitive topic for me. Am I next? The only person I've told about the warning is my closest friend. He thinks I should end things before they go further and things get serious. Okay. Ruben,
oh, no.
They are
social media
official. And then there's this person said, right? But we don't know. What is your sort of red, orange flag level at this point? And also, what would you do if you were Mark?
look, I'm more likely to dump someone because of who they voted for more than who they slept with. Mm-hmm. Fidelity isn't really high on my list of priorities because I believe that whatever I'm giving someone in a relationship is sort of very unique, right? No one else can give what I give in a relationship. But the flip side of that is you have to acknowledge that someone else can give him or them something that I can't possibly give. So I don't really feel a sense of preciousness or ownership over someone when I'm in a relationship. If you want to go off and have your fun, go off and have your fun. Tell me about it. I actually think that's kind of hot. I think it's something you can bond over in a relationship and something that makes it, you know, more spicy, more interesting. If cheating is a touchstone for you because of your past history, I don't think you need monogamy. I think you need therapy to work out your own fragility.
Very good point. Interesting. Denise, you said you've been through this before. Do you feel that Mark should give Brooke the right of reply? That could...
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to open up a conversation on this.
Absolutely.
And to discuss it with your best friend before you discuss it with her, I find is really difficult for that best friend. So every time he sees Brooke, he goes, "There, you cheating cow. You know, I'd run a mile from her if I was you." That is so not right. I'm really sorry, Mark. Just raise it with her and say, "Look, I got this really weird text from your ex. It was pretty hideous, but I'm not going to go there. But I'd love to know." He talks about fidelity. Now, that's something important to me. Can we have a bit of a yak about that? Is it something? Mm-hmm. We don't know what Brooke went through with that guy.
Exactly. You don't know his history.
No. And you don't even know whether she did any of this stuff. So why aren't we spending a bit of time getting to know what her side of the story is? If
Correct.
You're 3-week Facebook friend can't cope with this sort of discussion, it's not going to go the distance. Not because of what she's done in the past, but because you can't have those discussions together.
Exactly. There's also to be said, I don't know, a bit of a red flag for an ex who bears a grudge so much so that he's following his ex and figuring out who they're dating and then contacting them unbidden.
Yes.
And spilling dirt. Like, that's an invasion as well.
Ruben, I want you to channel your creativity a little bit. Let's just say that's landed on your phone. How would you reply if you were Mark?
It is before midday and I have not been given a gin and tonic and you want me to start working?
Is that what you're texting or is this you calling me out?
This is me calling out Radio okay. National as a whole. We need to have more institutionalized substances here okay. in this studio.
I apologize then, Ruben. Okay.
What's the question?
How would you reply if you were Mark?
I don't think the reply to this ex deserves any reply.
Me
to
too.
Me, that's sort of like... I don't know. No. I'm trying not to swear this early. It's trying to throw the cat among the birds, trying to throw the cat among the pigeons. It's trying to stir the pot. That's a conversation you need to have with Brooke and also with your brain's trust, your own private brain's trust.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brains Trust. I want to thank you both, Denise Erickson, journalist and mentor to emerging artists in the screen industry, and Ruben Kay, comedian and cabaret artist. And if you have a relationship or social dilemma gnawing at you, Life Matters is here to help. Get in touch. Email lifematters@abc.net.au. Put Ask Auntie in the subject line. We will get on to it. Earlier, we were talking about the let them theory, and I loved your calls, especially Jennifer from Canberra, who shared her story of setting boundaries with a close friend.
When I was listening to it, as Dr. Jackie said, it really resonated with the acceptance commitment therapy that I've undertaken with a professional over the years. And I had a friendship where I set a boundary about behaviours that I felt were acceptable. That person reacted negatively to that boundary and I just thought, let them.
Yeah.
And it felt like a weight was lifted off me, literally. Like I just went, wow, I don't have to worry anymore. Let them be angry. Let them talk to people in a rude way, but not me. So I really resonate with it.
And how did that affect the friendship, Jennifer?
Well, I set a boundary of how I'd like to be communicated with and that person didn't take that well, so I haven't spoken to them since. But I don't feel bad about that. I actually feel good because I feel like I've been released from an unhealthy and unhelpful relationship because they weren't respecting my boundaries. So I'm just saying, let them. Hopefully that they will see what I did was trying to respect myself and not control them, but let them do what they want to do, and I don't let it affect me. And as I said, it dovetails very well with acceptance commitment therapy, just accepting the situation and let them go on with their way.
Jennifer from Canberra there. Listen back to that whole chat on the ABC Listen app. I'm Beverly Wang. Thank you for your company on Life Matters Today. Tegan Taylor is back with you Monday with more of your favorites from the year.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.